Hello from Chicago. I'm Roy Leonard.
Steve Brookfred here in WGN Radio. Boy, it's great to hear that. Hello from Chicago. I'm Roy Leonard. That is the way Saturday started for thousands and thousands of us for more than 20 years. Roy Leonard sitting in this seat for WGN Radio, hosting, of course, middays during the week, but the phenomenal Saturday morning show. I was lucky enough to fill that spot for a few years after Roy retired. Steve Bertrand on this Saturday as we mark the 95th anniversary of the beginning of WGN Radio. June 1st was the day, June 1st, 1924. We've got some nice guests coming up. Spike Odell, Dave Stewart are on a phone line. We will talk to them in just a few minutes, but perhaps we'll start with a remembrance of Spike Odell.
Radio 720.
The number one thing will be for the players to believe that they can win. They have to believe that they can win. And if they believe that, then we've got a chance to win.
You gotta believe a man named Spike.
Players have to believe that they can win.
Yeah, to be able to win.
So if they believe that, yeah, they can win.
Basically what he's saying is
they have to believe that they can win.
And if they believe that, then
we've got a chance to win.
Spike Odell.
Pull that card out, will you? Just pick it up for me.
A man you can believe in.
Hey, Otis.
Hi, how you doing?
Otis Von Artner, long time no talk, big fella. How's everything up in Alaska?
Oh, it's getting crazy up here. I got that girlfriend, she's got me running, you know.
Yeah, now what's her name? Do we need to know her? Because
her name's Deborah, but she told me I gotta call her the goddess.
Hey, Otis?
Yeah?
Now, is this getting serious, is it? The last time we talked, you just met in a coffee shop, and you whipped her up a latte, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, she's pretty good. She's a keeper, you know.
Yeah?
So, she's got a job in her teeth, so that up here, that's pretty good, you know.
So,
can't ask for much more than that.
We thought we'd just give you a few holiday recipes.
Mom's holiday fruitcake recipe.
And let me write these down.
Okay.
Do it slowly.
Yeah. Okay. 1 cup water, 1 cup of sugar,
got it. Mm-hmm.
4 large eggs,
mm-hmm,
2 cups of dried fruit, whatever you want, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1 teaspoon of salt,
mm-hmm,
1 cup brown sugar, some lemon juice, some nuts, your choice again, and 1 gallon of whiskey.
Good. Isn't that a lot?
First, you want to sample the whiskey to check for quality. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, good.
Take a large bowl and check the whiskey again just to be sure it's of the highest quality.
Okay, good.
Turn on the electric mixer and beat 1 cup butter in a large fluffy bowl. And add 1 teaspoon of sugar and beat it again. And then make sure the whiskey is still okay.
Just try it again.
And then you want to cry another cup. And then just chuck in the cup of dried fruit. Mix on the turner. And if the fried fruit gets stuck in the beaterers, pry it loose with a Drew Scriber.
What?
Sample the whiskey to check for toxicity.
Good.
For what?
Toxicity? Now sift the lemon juice and strain your nuts.
Okay.
Add 1 tablespoon of sugar, something or whatever you can find. Throw the bowl out the window and go to bed, because who the hell likes fruitcake anyway?
You know, Pat, since Randy's been filling in for Ronnie, everybody at the station is practicing their Randy Hundley imitation.
Here's the pitch to Tyler. There's a strike and the count 0-2.
Can I give you my impression?
Go right ahead.
Oh, that's exactly right, Pat.
What do you think, Randy?
Kiss my hillbilly family.
All righty. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Spike.
I'll give you another prize if you take that phone into your dryer and put it in the dryer.
Okay, well, I'm right by the dryer.
All right, let's just put it in and give me about 20 seconds of tumbling. You gotta leave it on.
I will.
All right, this is Pete's phone.
Okay, we're going into the dryer now.
All right, now don't you get in it. Just put the phone in there.
I'm in here with it.
Don't leave him alone.
Get out of there.
Do you want it on fluff or delicate?
I want it on fluff.
Okay, you got it, big
all right,
boy.
Here we go. Here we go.
Ha ha ha! Hello?
Hey, Pete. Pete.
Hello?
Oh, Pete.
Yeah.
Pete, are you married?
Yes, I am.
Because somebody got to be there with some smarts to watch those kids.
Pardon me?
Oh, Pete, that was...
I will never forget that. Spike Odell, David Seward joining us now on 720 WGN. Welcome to both of you. How are you?
You ain't getting that cat of radio up and down the dial anymore, I'm telling you.
Odell, you know, when I heard Randy Hundley on the radio just last week, and the first thing I thought of was the way you, was your impersonation.
Well, that's exactly right, Pat.
David Seward.
Hi, Chump. Hey, Chump, how are you? As someone used to say, who has more fun than people?
That's right. You know, Dave Stewart and I tried to hook up. He was down here and not hook up, but get together down in Nashville here a little while ago. But, you know, with family reunions and grandkids going in 18 different directions, we never did it. Doggone it. But so we have to do it over the radio. Thanks, Bert.
I was looking at, Bert, the Pride of Piatone. Man, so many things are coming back.
Pride of Piatone, yeah.
You know, how long ago did you retire? I was looking at your last show last night.
10 years ago, over 10 years ago, yeah.
And David, you're new to retirement, right? Just less than a year.
Less than a year, as a matter of fact, of about 11 months or so, and it's a mixed bag, isn't it, Spike?
Yeah, I like it. I really like it. Yeah.
How about you, David?
I do like it so far. I don't consider myself settled at all yet, so we'll see what else may or may not happen yet. But it's okay.
My son
so
Michael
far.
Says I overheard him talking to somebody one day, and he said, "Yeah, he says my dad is the poster boy for retirement." So that's pretty good.
Well, that was the thing.
That's
Odell,
pretty good compliment, I guess.
Odell said he was going to retire, and no one believed he was going to do it, man. And you just went off.
You know, I can't believe that. I said that, and you're right. And nobody, when it came to time, they said, "What? You're going to go?" I said, "Yeah, I've been telling you that for 5 years." So
you you have a remarkable social media following still, and it's been maintained. And I just want you to speak to that a little bit and how that parlays to what this radio station is and what it's been.
Well, and that's one of the things that after I retired, it didn't really dawn on me, or it really didn't hit me until after I was gone, that you know, you become part of people's lives, and people want you to be part of their family. Well, most of them, not all of them, but a lot of them do, and that really got me, you know? I didn't think it would, but it really did. How close you are to people, even though you've never even shook their hand or seen them face to face, just because they invite you into their home over the radio every day for all those 22 years.
I want to ask the two of you about, David, I started in 1985, 84 as an intern. You, what, came here in 82, 81, something like that?
1982, right, 82. And then February of 1982. And that was back in the old building on Bradley Place. We were still back there.
There aren't many of us left who worked at Bradley Place and then moved down to Tribune Tower. And now, of course, we're here at 303 Wacker. But Marlene Wells, who's going on the Walk of Fame, was
right.
Tell me about
Marlene. I sent her a note. Congratulations, Marlene. What, 50 years there? So, like I told her in the note, I said, that place doesn't function if there's no Marlene Wells. So
that's
she certainly
sure.
deserved them.
How about when you heard the name Sam Weinstein again?
Oh yeah, the 10-pin tattler.
I love that. It was.
I did the news with the 10-pin tattler way back when.
It was like a 10 to 6, wasn't it, on Saturday nights?
Yep. It was a very short show, and for a while it held some record as the longest continuous sports broadcast in the country or something.
I only met him a couple of times when he was in the station. Of course, our schedules were totally opposite, but yeah, very nice man.
He'd come in and tape the show, I think, on Saturday afternoon, right, David?
He sure did.
But so I'm interested, from both of you, really, in your impressions of the radio station before you got here. Because obviously, David, you I think were in Joliet at the time. You'd come to Chicago by then.
No. This is my. I had been in Chicago a couple of years at another station. Coming from out of town, I grew up somewhere else in Pittsburgh, and so WGN was not the big powerhouse. With my own history, I didn't have any particular history to it, but I quickly came to realize what a giant it was, and. When I got here, I learned that firsthand. I mean, it was a juggernaut on the radio and a juggernaut on television, and quite a thing.
Spike?
I can tell you a quick story, too. I mean, a long story, but I'll make it quick. When I was first starting to get interested in radio, I was 24 years old, probably, and I went to this little vocational school where they taught you how to twist the dials, and you can be a radio star. And so I went there, and a very intelligent guy who'd been in the business for a long time was my teacher, and he always used to say, when we would do something and screw up, he would always say, "Now that's not the way they do it at WGN." Or he'd say, "This is the way they do it at WGN." And so all those years later, when I got hired at WGN, I went back sometime later and I said, "You know what, Chuck? This is not the way they do it at WGN." But I say that to say this. WGN was always the standard that everything was compared to, and I could not believe it when they said they wanted to hire me. They called me and wanted me to come up there and talk to them, and I literally said, "Well, what for? What about?" I didn't know they wanted to hire me.
I don't know if it was the first time you were in the station or after you'd been hired, maybe. I don't know, but I distinctly remember you walking in. You weren't working there yet. Walking into Studio A, looking around there, Tom Peterson and I were in the newsroom, and we could see through the glass, and we both were like, "Who's this new guy coming along?"
Yeah, I think that was probably the day they put me in Studio A and made me do a fake radio show, and they had all these people lined up on the phone that I would go to, and they would throw these weird questions, they would cuss you out, or they just wanted to see how you would react. And that day, I remember. I'll never forget this. Dan Fabian walked in while I was doing my audition radio show, my fake radio show, and he handed me one of those great big floppy disks. I mean, you can literally bend them, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He handed it to me, and I had no idea what it was. I'd never seen one of those things before. And he put it in my hand, and he says, "I want you to do a 60-second commercial on this."
That sounds like Dan Fabian.
That's like Dan Fabian, yeah. So I did a fake 60-second commercial on this floppy disk he put in my hand, and years later he said, "You know what, that commercial you did for that floppy disk might have just got you this job." I have no idea what I said, but I was full of bull anyway, so I just spread it out there.
Spike O'Dell and Dave Suter on the phone line. Hey, guys, we need to take a quick break. We'll come back and rejoin in just a couple minutes, okay?
All right.
You're listening to 720 WGN. It's 1022. You're listening to 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand in for John Williams on this Saturday morning. And this is the 95th anniversary of the beginning of WGN Radio. They flipped the switch on June 1st, 1924. So we're spending today reminiscing a little bit. Spike O'Dell and David Stewart are on the phone line joining me, one from Nashville, the other from Oak Park. David, it's been a monumental news sort of two-week period, and here we are with the legislative session in overtime.
And the new mayor, yeah.
And the Mayor Lightfoot was in yesterday. I had a chance to meet her. Very nice. Do you get the itch?
Oh, every day. I mean, when I was working, I would be on a lot of our sources from our news come from via Twitter, via news sources and reporters that we follow on Twitter. So just because I stopped being on the radio, I did not stop that. So I still, it's like a fire horse or like a milk wagon. You just keep running that route and doing those exercises without the last part of it where you actually write it up and put it on the radio. But, I'm yelling at the radio all the time, so I don't know if that counts.
How about you, Odell? Are you yelling at the radio, or has Karen finally broken you of that?
No, I have absolutely no desire to go back on the radio again. I really don't. I'm totally satisfied. No regrets. I have no desire to do it. Now, does that mean I've stopped following everything? No, I'm a news junkie. I've got TVs going with different channels on and listening to this and that, and I'll holler at the TV and the radio. The talk radio down here is not like it is up in Chicago, so you don't get a variety. You get a one-sided argument,
And, let me ask you this.
And I never liked that.
Why do you think that you were able to walk away so easily? Because I think a lot of us You know, it's kind of, we have this relationship with people. It's a lot of our identity. I think a lot of us have a hard time walking away or ending it. Why do you think it was so easy for you at such a young age?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, my wife and I said we were going to do it. When we were 55, we were going to retire. We were going to travel the world. That, you know, life, as John Lennon said, life is what happens. What is it, David?
Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
Yeah, and, you know, Mom had her Alzheimer's, so we had to attend to her. So that kind of changed a little bit. But we were always going to retire at 55. And also, the closer I got to age 55, the more things were different. They were just, I mean, there was a time there when, you guys probably remember this, and I don't mean to air dirty laundry, but when they're saying you can't use these words.
Right.
You know, and I thought, no, this is getting too goofy now. So, that was a small example, but there were little things like that that just kind of added up, and I just thought, that's not what I got into the business to do anyway. So, you know, let's do this at 55, and we've saved our money. Could I have had a fancier car? Yeah. Could I have bought a bigger house? Yeah. But we decided to put it in the bank so we could leave at age 55, and we did.
David, how about you? You're still a pretty young man. What are your plans for the future?
I'm going to find something to do that makes use of all this stuff that's built up in my head over the years. Lori Lightfoot has not called me, surprisingly, nor has J.B. Pritzker, but I'm doing some things locally at the local level to try to help, not necessarily candidates or politicians, but causes and efforts and social justice type thing. So I'm doing a little bit of that work, and I think maybe I'll get more into that as time goes by.
Well, I've got a job. I've started a job.
What's your job?
Painting. I've been selling paintings.
Amazing painting.
Are you? I didn't know you were selling them. So like, I see them online, but.
Well, it got to the point to where they were just sitting in the corner, and people said, "Boy, I'd sure like to have that." So. I'll sell it to them, and I'll take a part of it and give it to a charity that Carrie and I support.
Nice.
It's a living water project that my son, actually, Michael, is on the board of that, and they go to third world nations and they dig wells for people who never had clean water before.
You
so
know, it's not quite the same thing, but I still have on my wall you made a picture into a portrait, right? There was that software back in the day.
Yeah,
and it was of my kids with their puppy Roxy.
I remember that. Yeah,
still on the
wall. Yeah, you still have that?
I do. Roxy,
oh, good.
Roxy's left us. Emma's moved out, and Noah can't wait. Listen, you guys, I love talking to you. I miss you both, and I hope we can get together soon.
Well, just a little private thing for thank you, Bert. Just a little private thing to Dave Stewart. I want you to know, Dave, that yesterday Michael and his boys walked Abbey Road.
I saw the picture. Isn't that great?
Yeah, they went over there. They're doing a month-long vacation in Europe, and they started off in London, and they did Abbey Road, and they're doing the whole thing. But, Chump, I miss you. Bert, I miss you. I do miss you guys. I really do.
I do miss you, too, Spike, and Steve as well. I mean, there's no point for us. There's no reason for us not to get together more frequently.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we follow each other on social media, so we think we are
in touch. Know each other, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not the same.
Yeah, it isn't.
All right, boys. You
hey, happy birthday, WGN. Thank you for making
everybody.
My career the one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life. I truly appreciate that, and I would not trade a minute of it for anything.
We've got Huvelman, Johnsos, and Vanderaw coming up in the next half hour.
Oh, my gosh. Let me go fire up the internet.
See you guys.
All right.
Hi, you guys. Love you guys.
I love you, too. Thank you very much, Maple Walker. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to 720 WGN. And on this special Saturday morning, I'm filling in for John Williams. John, a recent inductee or new inductee to the WGN Radio Walk of Fame, along with Andrea Darlis, Marlene Wells, and Sam Weinstein, all announced earlier this week. This is actually the 95th anniversary of the beginning of WGN Radio. It was June 1st, 1924, when they flipped the switch. So we're spending this Saturday morning with some remembrances. And really, the guy who owned Saturday morning in Chicago for decades was the great Roy Leonard. Roy was a great mentor to me. And, you know, I was happy enough to get a chance to tell him that several times before he passed. But the way Roy raised his family, the way he lived his life, and the way he behaved on the radio is just something that I think a lot of broadcasters tried to emulate, spent their careers trying to replicate. I'm certainly one of those. So let's take a few minutes to remember Roy on this Saturday morning.
It's a fascinating concept to begin with, especially to those of us in the business.
Yeah, people in disc jockeydom are... Or broadcasting, or whatever. What do you call yourselves? Yeah, broadcasters?
Broadcasters, I guess, or communicators. Somebody came up with a word, because the business has changed somewhat. Some people don't like the word disc jockey, because, frankly...
That's like calling an actor a play actor.
Yeah, probably. I guess we're communicators, but there are still disc jockeys, and the disc jockey of Play Misty for Me is just that. I mean, he plays records, although he does more.
He plays... jazz or rock or whatever, but he also does poetry and everything.
He's
I understand.
Cool. The one, the greatest.
Ali Boumaye, Ali Boumaye. And I found out that means Ali kill him, Ali kill.
Yeah, and you did.
They didn't mean kill him in a physical way. They meant beat him up.
And you did. In fact, let's see, Foreman is now retired. In fact, everybody's retired except you. Who's left?
I'm trying to say I'm an old wisdom.
No, you said that yourself a few minutes ago. But we're all getting old. But who's left to fight?
Well, we have, my next fight is with Leon Spinks. They always have a way of building. Somebody's always coming. Then there's a fourth match with Ken Norton. People want to see. So that fight will come off as soon as they get me the proper guarantee.
Guarantee. Now, that means money, friends.
That means $12 million in the bank before I go in the ring.
Woody Allen, do you mind listening to the old routines? Do you mind even watching the old films? Or do you even bother?
I never, ever see my films after I'm finished with them.
Never?
Never, no.
I mean, would you walk out of the room if it came on?
Yes, I probably would.
Albert Brooks on the Roy Leonard Show with a wonderful new movie called Mother. But come on, man, 5 years between movies.
Well, you know, look, in my defense, sometimes I take a long time simply thinking of things.
I got to tell you a quick thing about modern romance. Are you aware of the fact that that movie has become a catharsis for guys who have these... breakups in relationships. They go through this horrendous breakup. The first night, they go to the video store and they rent Modern Romance.
Well, I would say this to any women. If you go to a guy's house and he owns that tape, don't go out with him.
Hello.
George,
hi, Roy.
You throw a fantastic party.
Well, it was not bad considering, was it?
That was a super party, by the way. And listen, that dance you did at the end with that very delightful-looking young lady was really something. You've been practicing your steps.
Actually, I was just thought of a line, you know, when she said that, you know, I may be a lover, babe, but I ain't no dancer. I don't know what song that was in, but it came right into my mind.
You know, as we listened last night in Chicago to your new album, one of the things I think that captured us all was the happy music that George Harrison is now into.
Yeah, it certainly is, actually, especially when you see the movies, like those movies, because... the song, like Crackerbox Palace, if you don't see the film, or True Love, actually, they could both be taken, straight, but they really are comical. There's a lot of music in the album.
Mike Royko dropped in. Somebody, are you going to write a column? Somebody ought to write a column, you or those guys like yourself who see things and can approach it maybe in a witty, memorable manner. Somebody's got to write a column about this tendency to make all phone numbers words. I just read one. In other words, you're going to buy Florida Sunshine and Naval Oranges. You dial 800-327-GROVE, G-R-O-V-E.
At least you can remember it. Remember when there were numbers like Humboldt 4253?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I remember that. I can't remember for anybody. I don't know. You know, I have to look up my own phone number.
Are you serious?
I
can't do it.
I look in my wallet when people say, what's your home number? Because I never call my home number. If I'm not there, there's nobody there. Why would I call?
True.
And I have to look the doggone thing up.
People still kid you about moving to the north side?
No, not if they've seen the dump I live in.
But that provided fodder for a column.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I got to ask you, have you been to San Diego recently?
No.
Will you ever go to San Diego?
No, I will never go to San Diego. Not until we win the pennant.
Now, of course, Mike Royko. It's amazing to me how much Mike Royko sounds like Rick Kogan now, who's on the show on Sunday nights. Clint Eastwood was the first voice you heard there. I think the rest were pretty well identified. But Roy was known for bringing in great celebrities. I met Leonardo DiCaprio when he was just a kid. He was on that show Growing Pains for a time, and he was in Roy's studio. It was Christian Slater one time. The other thing about Roy is he had this ability to do a live read of a commercial, and he could, you know, make you buy a chunk of sidewalk just with the way he would give a read. And we used to have this lobster giveaway, Live Lob, and I'll never forget exchanging glances with Christian Slater while Roy was reading it, doing 1-800-LIVE-LOB. Was the number. I used to tease Roy on Saturdays when I did news for him because he would give the time, like just right now, he'd say, it's 10:42 on this Saturday morning if you're cooking a 3-minute egg. But he never told us when to take the egg off, only when to start it. That was Roy Leonard. We're going to take a break and come back, talk to some producers who knew Roy well and knew a lot of the other hosts here very well on 720 WGN. It's 10:45 here on this Saturday morning. Steve Bertrand in for John Williams, the newly inducted Walk of Fame member. And we're remembering Chicago radio, WGN radio. It's the 95th anniversary. June 1st, 1924 was when they flipped the switch and this radio station began. And, you know, you all know the host, you know the news people and all of that. But really, the brains behind the operation are the producers. And we've got three of the smartest ones on. Actually, we couldn't get three of the smartest ones. So we have Tracy Heuvelman on the phone line. Kurt Vanderaw and Ann Johnsos. Welcome to all of you.
Thanks for employing the B team.
Yeah, you guys are the A team. Kurt, welcome. Now, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
Good, thanks. Okay, so Ann Johnsos, you worked with Roy Leonard, right?
Yeah.
And who else did you work with?
Bob Collins. So I had two of the greatest mentors on the planet.
Yeah, and Tracy, of course, Spike Odell.
Yeah, and Steve Cochran for about 5 minutes. That's what he says.
What happened? Did you fire him or did he fire you?
No, I don't know how to explain.
Well, you brought it up. Why would you bring that up?
What? No, I was because he always jokes about it. He constantly, every time I talk to him or he has me on the air, he says, oh, you only worked with me. You worked for Spike for 30 years and you worked with me for 1 minute.
Kurt,
a joke.
Kurt was also in management for a time. So, Kurt, tell me about this place. What is it about this place that you remember now that you've left for several years?
The thing that stays with me is just how family-oriented it was. And I mean that in terms of the kinds of things that we would put on the air, the shows that we would have, the conversations that we would have, the way that we would form bonds with so many listeners. I mean, WGN is Chicago in so many different ways, and to have that sort of connection was great. But I also mean family-oriented in the way that we all were able to work together. I mean, I love everybody who's on this conversation right now and continue to, and we have relationships that have continued for the decades since. It was a very special place.
Of the three of us talking to you right now, which of us do you like the most?
Producer Griffin, is he still on the line?
Griffin's here. Griffin, yeah. Tracy, tell me a little bit about this place and what you remember from it.
Oh, it brings a smile to my face. Whenever I think of GN, it was some of the greatest years of my life and some of the greatest, longest-lasting friendships I've had. The ping-pong games, the camaraderie, just everything about it was special, and we got to have a really good time and put a lot of good content out and just have fun with people, and it was just magical.
All right, I'm going to ask each of you to tell me a story about your time here. And while you think of that, I'll ask Ann Johnsos the same question as before. What do you think it is that producers do and did back in the day that the listener might not understand or might not have known about?
I think a bunch of it was operating beyond the host. You know, the hosts were fantastic, and they had their sort of pattern, their rhythm, and their groove. And I think what I liked to do was try and disrupt that a little bit. So I remember at one time Bob Collins, it was the Baby Richard case, and he did not want to hear from the father. It's a long story, but either way, right. So I got the father's lawyer to call in on the regular guest line.
Shut up.
On the caller line and just put him on as a regular caller. So Bob had to talk to him, and Bob was totally blown away by the other side of the story. And I think that the fun part was trying to just be disruptors.
I'd never heard that story. I didn't know you do that. Did you tell him that later?
No.
I would imagine not. All right, Kurt. So this is the first time that's been aired. I remember
that
story.
Can I take
that back? Yeah. I think the man's name was Ottaker Kirchner, right? I remember I was out at the home in Schaumburg the day that they changed custody. What a story from that. That had to be
95?
Oh, 95? Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Kurt, what do you think that the listeners might not really know when it comes to the job of producer?
When it comes to producing, I think all our shows were so different, right? So the morning show, whether it was Bob or whether it was Spike, there was so much planning. I have so much respect for the kind of work that Ann did and the kind of work that Tracy did, because Steve, you know better than anybody, when I was producing Kathy and Judy's show for about 10 years, the planning was we spent more time saying, don't talk about this now.
Right, save it for the radio. Yeah.
It was all sort of improvised, and to the kind of, I don't know, antics or the, I thought it was fun, the fun that we'd had during those 3 hours, we went in with maybe a loose framework for what it is that we were going to do, but it really was sort of made up.
Yeah, well, Judy,
it resonated.
Judy's going to be on with after the 11 o'clock news, so we'll get her to tell stories about you as well. But yeah, I used to go sit in there every morning for 10 or 15 minutes and, you know, just sort of plant seeds, right? You'd bring something up, you'd lay it out there and see if they bid on it.
Yeah, there was a show, I mean, one of the most famous Kathy and Judy bits was when Judy on the air. It's a kind of conversation that you would just normally have in a normal workplace around the office where somebody would say, my dishwasher is turquoise color, and yeah. I can't figure out why, but she saved that for the radio, and, you know, through a 10-minute bit, we found out, well, no, there's a piece of protective coating so that the metal on
doesn't scratch.
On the dishwasher,
oh, my God.
Scratch.
I'm still laughing.
One of the funniest things I've ever heard, radio or otherwise.
You know, the thing that was so unfair to you guys, I think, and you tell me, but the bosses used to try to get, if the host was doing something wrong, the bosses would go to you guys and try to get him to do it right.
Right? Yes.
And you guys weren't in a position, they weren't going to, I mean, you might have given it a shot, but if someone's going to be late for news every hour, the producer isn't going to change their view of that.
Exactly. My hands would be flailing in the air, like go to commercial, go to break, and I could be flailing my arms all over the place, and it wouldn't happen. So
she was
it wasn't without trying.
She was like air traffic control
right.
In there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Huelman, give me a story.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I just Spike was so great at kind of like feet of his pants, like improv, like doing a whole show on an hour on a pencil. Like I was like, oh God, like I don't know, but somehow he always makes it work.
Right.
And not to be like negative Nelly, but I didn't always know if that was really gonna work out. But like some of the greatest things were like just improvisational, like theme sports that ended up becoming like a huge part of the show, and it was hilarious.
I forgot about theme sports.
Oh gosh.
Well, how did that work? I remember the name, but I don't remember what the actual bit was.
It was when Cap would come in and we'd have to give him
a
theme, and he had to tie and loop in words with the
Cap,
with the regular sports cast.
Cap, who was the camel, remember the camel?
Who?
There was a contest once where we were all drinking water or something, and during Spike shows, Spike, Kaplan, me, and Ann Maxfield, and
yes.
We bet who could go the longest without going to the bathroom.
Yes.
And so Kaplan referred to himself as the camel, and finally he broke. He's like, the camel's got to go. And ran out of the
exactly.
Studio. Ann Johnson, give me a story.
Yeah, that stuff was fun.
Ann, give me a story.
So on the less fun but I think rewarding part, I remember one time with Bob, someone called in and her father had disappeared. He had Alzheimer's, and they couldn't find him. And so we put out a description, and the listeners drove around looking for him, and they found him.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, it was like, you know, I think Wally's the one who said people helping people, but... Yeah. There's no better example than that, I think.
You know, as you guys talk, I keep thinking of names. And Marilyn Miller, of course, was a producer forever for Wally. And Wally is an institution here. And thinking of the Spike Crew, too, we heard earlier on one of the montages, the great Mike Mathis, who passed a few years ago, but who did Traffic here for so many years. So, you know, I think that's part of it, too. I was a participate in this, but you know, there are always such great sort of ensembles around the hosts that that the hosts were always very generous to and allowed them to crack in, make jokes, and thrive as well. And I think that spoke a lot to not only to the host, but it led to a lot of the success.
Exactly. And the feeling of family and community, and we were all doing it together. It was awesome.
All right, Kurt, Judy Mark is going to be on in a few minutes. Give me a story.
Pick one. Try.
The one Judy story, Steve, you'll remember this and can bring it up better probably than I can. Judy, at one point, had a conversation on the air saying, the only way I can picture a river is if it flows from left to right.
Right.
And you spent 5 minutes trying to get her to
imagine herself
walking to the other side of the Chicago River so that she can see it was right to left, but she couldn't figure that one out.
I think she said something like, all rivers go right to left or something. And,
yeah.
And then they say, well, what if you're on the other side of the river? All right. Those were moments. All right. Tell us a little bit about yourselves now. I know that Apparently is a great podcast here at WGNRadio.com with Tracy as well as Ann. But what else are you doing? Kurt, you tell me first. What's up?
So I worked for an organization called socialmedia.org for, what was it, 8 or 10 years after leaving WGN, helping big brands do their social media stuff. Now I work for the nation's dairy farmers. Today is World Milk Day, by the way, just coincidentally. So everybody make sure you raise a glass of milk. But helping promote dairy, helping promote the good, honest work that dairy farmers do every day to take care of their cows, take care of the planet, and take care of us.
Tracy, I know, is a school board member, which should make every student quake.
Yes, I am now an elected official, and I have a 13-year-old daughter and a 11-year-old son, and it's baseball and soccer day today, so
great.
What I'll be doing today.
And how about you, Ann Johnsos?
I'm part of the gig economy, so other than the apparently I do podcast work for content marketers, so I think everyone thinks podcasts are the future, and I'm gonna fake it until they realize that I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I'm just so glad to talk to all of you. It's kind of weird because I started at the radio station young, and was more your age than with a lot of the people who were on the air who I was talking to from day to day. So I had great friendships, obviously, with the producers, and I'm glad to know you all. I'm glad that you're all doing very well, and I can't wait till the next time we see each other.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, you guys have a great day. You're listening to 720 WGN on this, the 95th anniversary of the radio station.
Hello from Chicago. I'm Roy Leonard.
Thanks very much, Maple. Steve Bertrand here. It is WGN Radio. I default to saying the Wintrust Business Lunch because, of course, I host that during the week, and I will host it this afternoon, too. We'll just have a half-hour show ahead of White Sox baseball. But I just I love hearing the Roy Leonard say hello from Chicago. It's just the way, you know, so many of us started our Saturdays. We're remembering WGN Radio today on our 95th birthday. That's a lot of candles. And we're doing it on Saturday morning, the time slot that Roy Leonard owned for decades here. We're going to talk to Judy Markey coming up in just a bit, because, of course, why not? She's the headliner. But first, maybe a moment or two to remember not just Judy, but some of the other ladies on WGN Radio.
Miss Betty Bryan here to ask a question and to compose a comment here and there. And here's as good a place as there. And you were commenting, Miss Betty?
I was telling Kyle I like the traditional romantic love for the first time kind of ballad.
You mean a boy loves girl reverently, touches her fingers chastely to his lips and sings her a yearning song.
That's what I mean. That's the attitude I like. A handsome young man sings to a nice, respectable girl on a beautiful desert island or someplace.
Hey, that sounds like a costume piece, Betty.
And music, Mr. Trendler, if you please.
And this is Jack Quinlan.
And this is Virginia Gale.
Welcoming you to another week of fun and prizes on your National Radio Club on WGN. Presented, of course, by your friendly National Food Stores. In a few minutes, we'll be playing bonus ballads again, so all you club members, be sure your pencils are nice and sharp.
And along the way, we'll have some more exciting food news from your National Food Store.
What makes men chase women they have no intention of marrying?
What?
The same urge that makes dogs chase cars they have no intention of driving.
I don't know which is funnier, the jokes or Johnny?
Both. No. Oh, it ain't the jokes, Lyle.
Is it warm in here?
Yeah, now. Yeah.
What? Why are husbands like lawnmowers?
I don't know.
They're hard to get started and mid-foul loaders don't work half the time. Bob, your wife is yelling at the radio. Christine's saying yes. Yeah. It's the don't work half the time part.
How long before we can get this tape?
Do you ever have a moment, Hillary, do you ever place a call yourself, and if someone asks who's calling, and you say Hillary Rodham Clinton, and they go,
yeah, right.
Who is this really? Did that ever happen?
Yeah, it has happened. Sure. The ones I like the best are people who say, and how do you spell that? And who are you with?
I think it's like one of those songs that sounds so beautiful, and then you listen to it, and it basically says, I'm miserable, I'm
used
I'm by men, and I'm diseased, and bring up the violin.
Speak your piece.
Adrian, speak your piece.
I'm really, really mad about spackle and bacon. I don't need a quart of spackle or a pint of spackle. I need a teaspoon of spackle. Next thing, bacon. You know, they got those little windows in the back, and the little label says, this is a representative view of the bacon you're going to buy. You know, it's not. Somebody had put, like, a great-looking piece of slab of bacon behind there. What kind of a job is that? Sitting there all day long, good one, bad one, good one, bad one.
Hillary, this is in the abstract.
It has nothing to do with what you personally do. Just in the conceptual conception of pantyhose, of you feel they are meant to be worn with or without panties.
I would have to give that question a lot more serious thought.
Get back to them?
Yes, yes, I will. I'll get back
Ever
to you on
the
that.
Politician. I want to say I want you to know something.
Yes.
One hates to be reminded of what they said in the past, and you are fabulous, because 4 years ago, I think, Kathy asked you that over the phone, and you said the same damn thing.
Can you explain why a man would like to
have the same hamburger every night, but needs to look at different strippers?
I think they go and they get a burger, and they know they want a burger. They know they want it to taste a certain way, and they go there, and that makes them comfortable.
So right. For food, they want comfort, and for sex, they want excitement.
Okay.
They want somebody that they can be complete pigs in front of, and this is
Kathy and Judy didn't say that.
No.
Vince.
Well, if you were to go to the zoo, you'd see many different animals, right?
You know, favorite animals is a whole nother interest.
Now, I have a question.
Yes.
Did you know who's going with President Clinton on this big long trip to Auckland, New Zealand?
Yes. Chelsea.
And do you know who else?
Who?
His mother-in-law.
Oh, man.
What the hell are we paying for Mrs. Rodham to go around to keep an eye on Bill? What is that? It's like going with your babysitter.
Plus 87 members of the press and probably 56 aides from the White House. So
who brings their mother-in-law halfway around the world?
Somebody who's in trouble with his wife.
That's right.
Are you having a heart attack, Nancy?
I feel like
Are you
yeah.
hyperventilating?
I think so.
All right, just calm down. Breathe into a paper bag.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I don't want her to be sick.
Do you want to put us on hold and call 911?
No, I'm fine.
Nancy, okay. Have you ever watched Beavis and Butthead?
No, I haven't, but thank you.
We have a lot of important things to deal with on the show.
I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's News and Talk Radio 720 WGN, and now we join the Kathy and Judy Show, already in progress.
I love backgrounds on fairy tales. This is one about Little Red Riding Hood. Now, what would you think they were trying to tell with Little Red Riding Hood? To me, it would be about, like, being safe or not talking to strangers.
You don't look like Granny. You don't smell like Granny.
Well, I think that's more the three bears.
No, the three bears are all huffing up, blow your house down.
No, those are the three pigs.
The children's story Little Red Riding Hood originally offered a warning about the dangers of premarital sex.
With your grandmother?
Great Kathy and Judy there. Steve Bertrand on this Saturday morning as we mark the 95th anniversary of WGN Radio. Judy Markey will join us next on 720 WGN. It's 11:17 here on 720 WGN on this Saturday morning. Steve Bertrand sitting in for John Williams. John will be back later next week. And I'm a Saturday morning listener. I was a big Saturday morning listener to Roy Leonard. And then I had a chance to actually do that Saturday morning show after Roy left for a few years. I love listening to John on Saturdays, Lou as well. And I love this woman overall, just about everything about her. Judy Markey joins us now. Judy, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you.
Have you been listening at all?
We had a good time. I listened to the whole show.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, good. How are you?
Fine.
It's so funny, I'm glad you listened to the whole thing. So then you heard the Hillary Clinton stuff about how she's careful about what she says in the past. Wow, was that prescient.
It was very prescient. It's a big word.
I know. I'm sorry. That's the biggest word I'll use. Listening to the cuts, and you heard Kurt then talk earlier, one of the things that, well, just tell us how you are right now. How is everything? What are you up to? What's up in your life?
Well, you know what? I was listening to, some of the cuts that you had, and I think, one, I'm not so Gracie Allen anymore.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten smarter. And two, I don't have so many opinions. I had an opinion on everything.
That's interesting. Why do you think that is?
Because my life is very easy right now. It was always easy with radio. I mean, there's no question about it. But I don't have to keep up. I can keep up as much as I want to keep up.
And so you think that's why you don't have opinions? Or it doesn't matter?
I don't have so many. I mean, so many of them are, over in the political area.
Right.
But I'm much more ambivalent now. I think I'm more boring now.
I was going to say I couldn't imagine that, but that'd be the wrong thing to say. I think you're wiser.
Yeah, look.
I think as we get older, we get a little wiser, and the things that we get worked up about when we're younger don't matter as much anymore.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the wise to happen. I've just done the older part.
You know, the other thing is, one of the reasons you guys were so successful is you let me laugh at you. You never seemed to mind being the butt of the joke, did you?
No.
No?
I mean, that's why I don't mind corrections either. I mean, that's one thing that I don't mind if somebody corrects me. Like with the world famous, dishwasher thing.
Right.
I mean, that was such a dopey thing, but I genuinely didn't know that, and I still feel rivers flow from left to right.
Explain that one for me. Kurt and I were trying to remember that. So you think that rivers flow left
to right. Why do all rivers flow from left to right?
But of course they don't. We know that they don't. We had a text. I don't know if I still have it up here. When Kurt was on, a woman sent a text about she was one of the women on Labor Day who gave birth.
Oh, my God, and the child's out of college now, right?
Probably so. I don't know. I didn't get that answer. But, when you look back at your time here, what stands out? What are your sort of favorite memories?
Well, I loved in the morning before we went on the show because we had so much fun. You'd be in there and Beth or Kurt would be in there. And so that was fun. And then not knowing what was going to happen was the most fun.
And what do you mean by not knowing? What do you mean by not knowing?
Well, because Kathy had her list and I had my list. We didn't tell each other what our list was going to be. And occasionally we'd start to talk about something. And like Kurt said, we'd say, he's saying that leave it for the radio.
Right.
But we didn't know how anything was going to turn out. And I think that's true of some shows, but a lot of shows are planned. An interview with, like today's show, you don't know what's going to happen because you don't know what somebody's going to say. But I know who
I'm going to talk to next. And right, yeah, exactly.
Right. Who are you talking to next?
We're going to do the Mincing Rascals next. Is that your favorite podcast?
So who are you doing after the missing raffle?
Do you ever listen to podcasts?
I listen to some, yeah. but you know, I listen to The Moth a lot.
Right.
And I listen to a lot of NPR.
Oh, that you used to say that when you worked here, too. I didn't like it then, either.
Oh, you still don't like it?
Well, you know, I don't care. But I asked you about podcasts because I think a lot of people who are in radio don't listen to podcasts like the people who aren't in radio. I don't know if that makes any sense.
That could be. Well, once you've been on radio for, like, if you're talking during the day for your job,
right?
Sometimes you want a little silence or just a good book.
Right.
See, I told you I got boring.
And you know that the people who, because you've been one talking to people all day, that the other people talking at you at night probably aren't that smart.
Right. And they know which way the river runs, too.
You know, one of the things I loved about working with you, and Kathy's coming back from a college graduation today, right, I think.
She's headed out to one of her grandchildren's college graduation. She's on a plane now.
I think that we all had the most honest relationship, really. One of the most honest relationships in my life were the relationships I had with the two of you.
I know. I miss you, Steve.
I miss you, too. But we used to get mad at each other once in a while, too.
Well, were you mad at me? Well, I don't remember our being mad at each other.
I can't think of it. It'd be a momentary issue. I can remember sometimes I just get frustrated and fling the mic. And forget it. I'm not even going to play anymore. But
you were a big part of the show.
But with Kathy, you guys never really had any disagreements, right?
Kathy and I?
Yeah.
We would have them, and
would
then
you?
We would go back into the office after the show and say, okay, we have to talk about that.
Because you'd have an honest disagreement on the air.
Yeah, or maybe she stepped or I stepped over the line. And, you know, on something that was, it'd be more likely that I would step over the line because I couldn't always
right.
tell what was the difference between personal
right.
and radio.
And you did it
yeah.
very sincerely. You just had no idea.
Yeah. We didn't go home mad. Like they say, when you're married, don't go to bed mad, which I certainly have done. But we didn't go home mad.
I always wanted you guys. Oh, you know, that's another memory. I used to drive you home.
Uh-huh.
I forgot
Thank
all
you.
About that. Sure. I could have been an Uber driver.
You could have.
I
take Lyft.
I always, really? Is that a political thing?
No, I just like their software better.
Oh, okay. I always wanted you guys to do more guests, and you very rarely had a guest on. Why was that?
Because the guests were always selling something, and the listeners were really the funniest ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most, you know, definitely straight shooters. I mean, when guests comes, remember the... how horrible it was when Robert Goulet got into a fight with Kathy on the air because he was so arrogant. And, you know, it just didn't work out for us with guests.
But he continued to send you Christmas cards even after that, I think, right?
Yes, he did, him and his lovely wife. I don't know where they are now.
There was a guy named Quentin Quisp who you guys had on, a writer.
Yes.
And why do I remember him?
Well, first, because his name is difficult to say.
Yes, it is. Very difficult.
I don't remember why you don't remember.
I do remember him, but I don't remember what stood out about it. Anyway, I guess it doesn't matter. Thinking back on your bit, Sex Thursday, Speak Your Piece,
yeah.
all that, was there one that was a favorite?
Speak Your Piece.
Yeah. It's amazing
because
how well that lasted.
I know. Well, you know, we stole it from Whitesville, Kentucky's local newspaper.
I forgot about that. And then you had them on, didn't you? Oh, no, that was another. There was another.
That was Biscuits and Gravy. They were on the radio in Whitesburg, Kentucky.
Right. So you would mind this? You would mind Dixie for some of your best material?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't Dixie when people would call in on Speak Your Piece.
Right.
It was the Heartland.
And listening to Adrian
Heartland Heartaches.
Listening to Adrian was pretty funny on Speak Your Piece.
Yes. She was our best caller in her.
Yeah, she was. All right. Well, listen, I love catching up with you. We don't live that far from each other. Maybe I'll have Sharon call you and set something up.
I would love it.
How's Tom?
Tom is fine. He's golfing with six of his friends out in Tucson. And I'm here looking for a raincoat for Kathy and I are taking a trip with some of our former listeners
to St. Petersburg. Next month, right?
And the Baltic.
Next month?
Yeah. So I'm looking for an unlined raincoat, and they're several hundred dollars instead of $19.99, which is all I want to spend. So that's what I'm partly doing for my afternoon.
Well, why don't you search bad raincoat or something like that, ineffective raincoat. Maybe that would get you the $19.99 one. Give it a shot.
Okay.
I love you,
okay,
Judy.
Okay, keep up with the good show.
Okay.
I love you too, Steve.
We'll talk again soon.
Okay, I'm going to call Sharon. Okay.
Please do.
Bye.
You're listening to WGN Radio. Thank you very much, Maple. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on, here we go. I just did it. You're listening to 720 WGN, not the Business Lunch. The Business Lunch is coming up about a half an hour from now, and I will be hosting that. One of the things we're going to talk about is crop insurance. Next week is the deadline for farmers to put in claims for their crop insurance. And, you know, Orion's been talking a lot, and of course, it's very true that it's just been a terrible spring for farmers. A lot of crops aren't in the field yet. So we'll talk to an expert about that, about how they can, what they need to do, just how bad the situation is, and all of that. It's also Saturday morning, and that's when we listen to part of the Mincing Rascals. I'm part of that weekly podcast. Eric Zorn, John Williams, of course, Patty Vasquez joins us from time to time. Justin Kaufman hosts it this week, and Scott Standis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, is on the panel as well. And we'll start with Scott. He's not so happy with the budget deal.
This is a hell of a way to run a government. No one has seen the budget.
We're still standing. It's been working so far.
Yeah, okay. So we're still a state. So that's great. But this is preposterous. I was on the air last night with Patty Vasquez, and she had a number of state representatives, and the Democrats were all cool with this. The Republicans, of course, were livid. I agreed with the Republicans. You don't have a budget. You have less than 12 hours to read it. Do you know how the Republicans do when they get the budget now? They split it up. They say, okay, I'm interested in this section, because the thing is, as you might imagine, it's a multi-billion-dollar budget, and that's just a bad way to govern.
It's garbage politics, and it's something that we kind of got all out of sync with Rauner and Madigan, as they there was so much behind the scenes, and we never actually saw what was happening. But this seems to be part and parcel to what Mike Madigan does with new laws and things like that.
I don't know for a fact how it works in other states, whether other states take things right to the brink like this or not, and the degree to which it's not good. I agree with Scott. It's crazy. We should have been talking about fine points in the budget for a month now, and instead it's going to get dumped on us today.
Well, this evening, perhaps.
We have not seen anything of the budget, right?
Or the Capitol bill. I mean, it's like...
Yeah. The Capitol bill has a ton of baked-in taxes.
Oh, we've talked. I mean, the Capitol bill, a little bit more is known about that. We don't have the actual bill, you're right, but we know that they're going to fund it.
The proposal, or what Pritzker wants.
Well, they want to fund it with a doubling of the gas tax, I believe, at least, and then there's going to be
that doesn't hurt the
license
class.
Plate and renewal fees that will
and
go
fees
up.
For electric cars going up. So, there's a lot of moving parts there. There's also gaming that's out there right now. We don't know what's going to do with sports gambling, gaming. Maybe, you know, every year, how many years have we been around, all of us here, and every year there's going to be a casino in Chicago, and it never happens. It might happen today.
Okay, so let's talk about casinos, because that part of it, and I agree, someone who has covered this stuff and been around Chicago as long as we have, they're always talking and teasing out the idea of adding to the casinos in the state of Illinois. This time, though, they combined what was an issue about just online, or just about betting, and they said, well, what if we throw some casinos on top
of sports betting?
But so... You know, here we are. Are we at the precipice? Are we going to see today more casinos and possibly a Chicago casino get through Springfield?
I think that we will, because it's linked to the Capitol bill, right? And so you're going to have all these constituencies that want this money. Everybody likes Capitol bill money. You can go back to your constituents and say, cut ribbons and so on. And this has been hanging out there for so long. And I've got some misgivings about it. I'm not sure that I want a big casino in Chicago. I'm not sure I want to double the number of video game terminals. I'm not sure that that's good overall for the population, for the public. But You know, there's a lot of gambling that goes on out of state.
Moral clause, well. The moral clause kind of went out the window this time around. Yeah. We've heard so much about the morality of casinos. This time around, when we get to pensions and bills, everyone's like,
you can't have the governor pushing to, you know, make a bet on your phone at Guaranteed Rate Field and then make a moral argument against the Chicago casino.
Well, but I do have a problem with a casino that's run by the city, which is one of the proposals. And that's...
I think that's dead, though.
Is that dead? Well, thank goodness, because I got two words for you, Ed Burke. Do you really want someone like that running a casino?
I don't think he'd get the job anymore.
Well, he's not doing anything else.
He definitely put a little pressure
on him.
He does.
And I want to make... We'll get to Ed Burke in just a second. But as we look at that, when you say a Chicago casino, and obviously Mayor Lightfoot is pushing for that as well, where do you want this casino? Where do you think the best place for a Chicago casino would be?
Michael Reese site. That's mine.
Right in near South Side?
Near South Side.
I think where they're going to put the Lucas Museum.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I like
Jackson
the Michael Reese site too. Yeah,
I'd rather have it closer to downtown.
Well, you've got that development. We continue to develop that area, right? That McPlace area, and even to the further west of the post office, that whole move south. So, yeah, I think so.
What a great to get to Lori Lightfoot and the mayor. You saw her this week win in so many different levels, but you're also seeing a little bit of her being able to flex some muscle. She came out against expanding the restaurant tax, which was a tax that would say that we're going to put tax on restaurant in neighborhoods, not just the ones
downtown.
Well,
there's a special taxing district right now for restaurants that ostensibly attract tourists.
Right, and so they wanted to expand that so they could renovate McCormick Place. She came out against it. It's dead.
Well, they wanted to expand it, but exempt big arenas like Wrigley Field and Guaranteed Rate. And she said, why?
They pointed to today in Cranes, I think it was, they looked at and said, because she came out against it, they lost any sort of energy in Springfield, and McCormick Place is going to have to double back. But it just shows that she is that has a lot of clout, or I don't know what the word would be, but right now she's flexing muscle.
I think that's what happens when you come in with 75% of the vote. I mean, Rahm didn't have the cojones to stand up against Ed Burke. I mean, again, I hate to keep coming back to that, but he kind of took aside, sachet and let Burke do what Burke does for 8 years. She just was like right out of the gates.
Well, in fairness, though, Burke is badly wounded, was even before Thursday. He was a badly wounded guest. I mean, it was great theater on Wednesday when the mayor faced him down and basically told him to take a seat.
Alderman, please. Alderman, I will call you when I'm ready to hear from you.
That was just beautiful. I wonder, though, was she given a little bit of extra spine in that by some sort of inside knowledge?
She knew what was coming.
I mean, she's a former federal prosecutor. Yeah. I assume she's got some contacts in that department. She knew that the next day this was going to be like a 1-2 punch.
She's alluded to that during an editorial board meeting, right?
She said she thinks there are more. I was surprised that there aren't more indictments, and there may be more coming down.
She was asked about that today, and she said, well, you know, with Danny Solis wearing a wire for 2 years at the zoning committee, she goes, yeah, I absolutely worry about it.
She worries about it, or
She
predicted it at the editorial board. I mean, she was basically indicating that there's going to be more than, it's not just going to be Ed Burke, but there are going to be other dominoes to fall, too.
As we're talking about Alderman Ed Burke, he was indicted more, expanded charges from past shaking down the Burger King. Now it's the old post office. Now it's a really strange
case.
Field museum intern. But this is just, I mean, talk about bad weeks. I mean, this is one of the worst weeks in Alderman Ed Burke's history, and I don't know if he survives any of this.
I just did the headlines at 10:30 and wrote something, and I didn't realize how funny it was until I read it on the air. But I said, you know, Mayor Lightfoot today called on Alderman Ed Burke to resign in the wake of his federal accusations.
We have got to set the standard, which is why I believe it's important for Alderman Burke to resign.
Usually Chicago aldermen wait until they're convicted to resign.
You're absolutely right.
Which is, you know...
Should he resign, Eric?
Yeah, of course he should. I don't think he will. I mean, Blagojevich should have resigned when he was frog-marched out of his house. All these guys should resign. There is no impeachment or removal process at the city council level. You have to wait until he is convicted of a crime to get him out of office formally. So if he wants to stay, he's going to stay.
If you're a defendant, don't you look more guilty if you resign before I wonder if that's part of it, too, before the trial.
I think that's part of it. But the fact of the matter is, in our justice system, Ed Burke, for all of our kidding and everything and disdain, frankly, he's innocent right now. Today, he's innocent. So, no, he should not resign. There's no reason to resign. He's an innocent man.
He's presumed innocent.
It's not like it's a mystical religious thing where we make him guilty, but yeah.
It's a legal presumption. I agree with that. But it's, at some point, the cloud over him is so great that he is completely ineffective in his job and probably should take the time to go and devote it to his defense and not to pretend playing ineffective all the time.
I don't think effectiveness has ever been a reason to leave politics.
Yeah, right. I wonder, though, as you look at everything that's playing out and even some of these charges, this strange thing with the internship and a friend's kid, and I'm gonna shake down the museum for that. They seem very Chicago-style politics. It seems like it's illegal, it's corruption, but it's the Chicago way, and it's been going on for years. Is this the end of the Chicago machine with Ed Burks publicly being just completely eviscerated by the federal government?
Been thinking about that a lot lately, and I don't know. I mean, it's a big behemoth, gluttonous monster that gobbles everything up, and I don't know that its appetites are going to be satiated or if it's going to go away altogether. I can't believe it will.
I would disagree a bit with Scott. I think that the machine, so to speak, has been weakened quite a bit over the years, and it's not nearly what it used to be.
Yeah.
And we saw that with the ineffectiveness. I mean, Toni Preckwinkle, what is she? How many? She won a few precincts, right? I mean, she just got a complete butt kicked. And she was the head of the Democratic Party in Cook County. So I think that we exaggerate the power of the machine anymore.
Well, we might be confusing the power of the machine, though, with the power of the Chicago corruption. Right. Yeah. So the machine's not there. Is the corrupt machine still there?
And the systemic corruption.
Is the systemic corruption. Yeah. That's a good question.
And I think that we might be at such a moment in the history of Chicago. I really do think we might be moving toward the end of that.
And sending a message to all the other aldermen and people around that the way you were doing things that Ed Burke taught you, may perhaps, like, that is not acceptable.
And not just that, but a lot of those aldermen just aren't going to be around for another year or two.
And I think this really underscores the need to make sure that whatever outside jobs these aldermen have, that they are really bland, uninvolved jobs, have nothing to do with city government. So, you know, yeah, you could drive an Uber or something like that, but you can't
be a cartoonist, like a
cartoonist or columnist. It's like, right. Absolutely,
you can't be a Springfield lobbyist and be an Alderman.
For them to make sure that doesn't happen anymore, that you don't have these property tax lawyers.
Should they just not have a job at all? I mean, should they? What are they compensated?
That was one of the proposals that came up.
Over 100 grand.
I think it's decently compensated. I can see where, and it's problematic if your spouse has a job, if you have investment income. And not everybody has a 9-to-5 job, but clearly the conflict of interest situation is at the root of this. And if you have someone who's got a job like Burke had, who can benefit from the people who are doing business in the city, that's just unacceptable. And when that stops, a lot of this potential for corruption starts to stop as well.
Eric Zorn, and that's part of the Mincing Rascals this week. You should subscribe to it. Really, you should. We depend on it. WGNradio.com comes out every week, usually about Thursday afternoon. This week, because of some absentees, I think we did it on Friday, but generally on Thursday afternoon. All right, we've been remembering and thinking about WGN Radio today. It's the 95th anniversary of the day they flipped the switch, June 1st, 1924. And we've heard from a lot of former workers here, some current workers as well. If you have something you'd like to say, love to hear from you. We have a few minutes left in the program before the Wintrust Business Lunch. Give us a call at 312-981-7200 because, you know, we've been talking at you, but the fact is, the strength of this radio station has always been its listeners. Judy and I talked about Adrian and how funny she is, but just the fact that you are there, or also Ann Johnson said, looking for the man with Alzheimer's. It's been the listeners. Love to hear from you coming up in the next few minutes. The phone number, 312-981-7200. You're listening to 720. It is 11:52 here on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand in for John Williams, the newly inducted to the WGN Walk of Fame, John Williams. He'll be back next Saturday morning. We've just been kind of remembering and talking about the history of WGN Radio. Wally Phillips, Roy Leonard, Bob Collins, Spike Odell, Judy Markey, Kathy O'Malley, and all the greats who've worked here. And one of the guys who worked here in the newsroom was a guy named Dick Sutliff. And when I came in, Dick was... He was a cranky guy, and he was a stickler for facts. And he was, you know, if you got on his good side, you were on his good side. But if you got on his bad, he would let you know what you were doing wrong. And really, I learned a lot from him about not just grammar, but technique and all that. But one of my favorite outtakes In my 34 years at WGN Radio, one of my favorite outtakes was Dick Sutliff when he was doing the news and reading a story about Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping.
A leading China watcher says Deng Xiaoping no longer runs China, and President Yang Changkun has taken responsibility for the country's day-to-day affairs. David Shambaugh, a political science professor with the University of London, told foreign correspondents that Yang now has the second biggest power base in the country after Deng, China's longtime patriarch. Shambaugh says Deng has genuinely retired, adding that should Deng die, the 84-year-old Yang, who also controls China's powerful military, would move quickly into the position of supreme leader. Whether after this.
Dick Sutliff, the newsman. Dick passed probably. Well, Bob Kessler's in the newsroom now. Bob, welcome.
Hey, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good, man.
How long ago did...
That was 2013, April of 2013 that he 2013. Died. So 6 years ago.
We had a picture of him in the newsroom, and he retired probably 15 or 20, I don't know how many years ago.
Probably early 2000s.
And yeah. I think we still have a picture of him in the newsroom somewhere, just kind of hanging around, a publicity picture that was probably taken in the 80s. You knew Dick well.
Yeah, and we were good friends.
When he became ill, you almost became his caretaker.
Well, yeah. I mean, he didn't have a lot of family, so I would check in on him.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did more than just check in on him. You took care of him.
He was kind of. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, Leon Redbone, who died this past week, and they said on his obituary that he was 128 or something. First of all, when I said he was 69, I'm like, Leon Redbone was kind of born about 69.
We were talking about that on Bill and Wendy's show this week, right?
Dick was kind of one of those guys, and I mean that in the best possible way. You know, he was kind of from... I first met him when I first got here, early 90s,
right?
And he was of that other era, even though he wasn't... I think he was about to turn 60 at that time.
Yeah, I remember his 60th birthday.
I think he had a deep-seated love for the medium of radio.
Well,
and the practice of journalism.
When I first started in 84, I was an intern, and WGN Radio at the time had a half-hour newscast at night, every night. I think it was at 11 o'clock, and Sutliff, it was his job to put it together.
News at 11, yeah.
News at 11, and it was all paper. So he would take this, you know, entire desk and put his script out, and he was so proud of the organization of his script. That's actually one of the first times I think I ever got on the air was I was doing a sports cast for Tribune Radio Network, and for some reason, they had a problem with the sportscast in the 11 o'clock news, and so I ended up filling in on Sutliff's show. And I'm sure I was lousy at it, and I'm sure Sutliff didn't appreciate my job.
Yeah, but did he ever tell you? Because he was never usually quiet about
no,
that.
No, he sometimes would throw things.
Oh, he'd throw things. Or he had me... So my first full-time job here was producing the overnight show with Steve and Johnny.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
And he knew I had an interest in doing news, and I had some news experience, and so he'd say, all right, kid, you know, I need a story for the four. Write me a thing about this. And he would show me where, you know, where the what was wire copy or where I would write stories for him. And then I would listen. Oh, he's going to do my story. You know, but then he would say, all right, well, your writing's getting better, but you can't hyphenate for beep, you know, things like
right.
You know, he was a stickler, and I was always like, punctuation. No one listening knows that.
That's funny you say that about you would listen to hear your stories read, because when I was an intern, I would write the afternoon headlines, like the 4:30, 5:30 headlines, and race out to my car. This is when we were in Bradley Place. Turn on the radio to hear Tom Peterson read my words.
Did Tom Peterson? I'm sorry, I didn't listen. Maybe Tom.
No, he wasn't on. He was busy.
But, where is Tom Peterson? He's here now.
Come on, do a little bit. We're running late, but do some Peterson.
Come on. Really? That was Tom's response to everything. Really?
Peterson. Bob Kessler does the world's best.
I love Tom.
Yeah,
Tom
all do.
And we had Wes Bleed. We had a lot of great people.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like if I name anybody, I'm forgetting somebody else.
Well, it's been great. I look forward to the next night. I'm not going to be around for the next 95 years for all of them, but
you don't think
hopefully
so?
For a few anyway. All right, you get ready. You got the news coming up in just a few minutes.
I do, with all the typhoons and everything.
You're listening to 720. Someone just called to remind us of the cookbooks at WGN. Don't make any of the recipes I put in those cookbooks back in the 80s. Just don't do it. That's going to wrap things up for the John Williams Show on this Saturday morning. I hope you enjoyed thinking back and remembering WGN Radio's history as much as I did. We'll think forward now with the Wintrust Business Lunch coming up.